In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship. We're glad that you made it here around all the detours of Providence this morning. Thank you for being with us together in worship. We would like to ask you, if you are visiting with us, or if you are here on a regular basis, too, to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisles and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Well, you are all invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately following the worship service here this morning. On Tuesdays, your attention to a few announcements in our bulletin this morning. There are lots of things happening this summer season around here, and our Tuesday night barbecues from 6 to 8 p.m. are off and running through all of July and August. We are definitely in need of a couple of people to help co-host each week with our Sean's efforts to get us organized. And so talk to Sean. Wave your hand again, Sean, if you can help one of these weeks to cut up some vegetables and be here to bring things out to set up before the event. You'll find more details about it in the bulletin this morning. There are still a couple of spaces open for volunteers for Camp Street, which is our third Saturday in a row of mission outreach activities. The sign-up is posted on the bulletin board in the Hope Room for you to join us in that effort. Next Sunday morning, we will be hosting Reverend Gerson Annunciacio, whose name I just badly mispronounced. Reverend Gerson, we know from Christ is Life congregation, but he is beginning a new ministry to immigrants in the detention centers, and we are partners in that ministry with him. And so he will be preaching next week, and we hope many of you will be able to be here. Both Pastor Dave and I will be overlapping with some absence next week, and so the details about pastoral care coverage by our parish associate Steve Nelson and Ginny Smanick are in the bulletin so that you can be in touch with them if you have pastoral needs during that weekend time. In a couple of weeks' time, on the 24th of July, we will be hosting a pastor who's coming to look at how we work together as a community. From Washington State, she's studying a couple of multicultural congregations around the country, and she would love to have dialogue with any of you that can stay for after the worship hour for some discussion downstairs on the 24th, and there'll be more about her visit. She'll also be here for the barbecues and worship with us and the variety of meetings that are happening during that week. Are there any other announcements this morning? The psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' With glad and yearning hearts, let us come to worship God."
Thank you.
Though we seek to walk in faith, we often fall short of God's ideal. Our brokenness with God needs healing. In that spirit, let us come to God, confessing our sin first in silence and then praying together. Let us pray. O God of all creation, you call us to walk in the newness of life with you. Your love is deeper and wider than we can understand, and you give it to us freely. But again and again we turn away. We keep our sins to ourselves as if we could hide them. We harbor cruel thoughts as if they don't affect us. We neglect the most vulnerable in our community as if they weren't our neighbors. Forgive us, we pray. By your mercy, turn us from a life centered on ourselves and bring us back to doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with you, our God. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, O Lord, your tenderness. Number 2143. The voice of God calls us out of ourselves and into the great promise of salvation. Friends, hear the good news. In and through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free. Let us live as a people of God. Amen. Thank you.
All things are possible, only believe. If we are to believe the words of Scripture, we know that there is no prayer that is too great for God. There's no prayer that is too small for God. We are a praying congregation, and we bring our prayers big and small before the Lord. We're praying this day for Nalone Gabe, whose sister went into labor yesterday and has been in great pain through the night. We're waiting word of a joyous birth, but we're still in prayer with Nalone and her sister. We're also praying today for Shirley Jones and Jahada, whose dog Santana has been in the hospital and is just recovering. So a member of their family, a canine member, praying for them today. Other prayers that you have this morning, great or small? Come back to Jenny.
My grandparents, who are in good health, are dealing a lot with most of their friends who are not in good health and passing away one by one. And so prayers for Pete and for John, two of their close friends. They have a great group of friends that my sisters and I know and consider sort of to be family because they take such good care of each other. So just prayers for their two friends who are struggling with various medical ailments, and rejoicing for Sudan, and just prayers for them as they embark on trying to set up a new government.
Thanks. For Pete and John, family friends of Jenny, and also for Sudan, which became the newest country in the world, separating from Northern Sudan. Thanks. CJ.
Ongoing prayers for Alexandra, excuse me, granddaughter of my dear friend, as she continues to fight this rare brain tumor.
Prayers for Alexandra. Thank you. The prayers today. Jim, can I pass this down?
Thank you. Two things that I celebrate. One is that our work day for Habitat yesterday was a lot of fun and very successful. There were 10 of us. We put sheathing on the roof, and some of us had to get harnessed to stay safe and climb up on that roof, and we built staging to get up there. We installed the furring on the ceiling of the second floor, which will then hold the drywall, but we'll screw the drywall into that. And we put several room dividers, walls, up. So we had a very successful day. Thank God and thank all the people who participated. Another joy is that tonight, our church, the Presbyterian Church USA, will put into place a practice that I think is a good move. For 30-some years, we have focused too much on our leadership, elders, deacons, pastors, and their sexual orientation. Finally, we're getting back to focusing upon those leaders who are called by God and their faithfulness to Jesus Christ and their willingness to follow that call. I think that's much more important than what we've been doing for the last 30 years. Thank God for that.
Thanks, Jim. Prayers for what God is doing through Habitat and our congregation as we partner with them this summer and into the fall, and also for a new direction for our national denomination, the Presbyterian Church, as people respond to God's call on their lives. Other prayers today. Judy.
I'd like prayers for my best friend from high school, Phyllis, who just had surgery for breast cancer on Wednesday. I would also, going on to backing up to Jim, I'd also like prayers for those churches who are still having difficulty with that decision, that God will lead them to accept that decision.
Thanks for Phyllis, who is recovering from breast cancer surgery. Thank you. And for our churches that are struggling these days. Other prayers. Lee, can I ask you what's going on with Monica?
Monica has a, I guess you might say arthritis in her neck, but I'm not sure that's a clinical word. But this morning she's in a fair amount of pain.
praying for you and for Monica. I'm dealing with this pain. What are prayers today? Amen. So, Julie B.
I have a joy, and that is that my brother, who's been suffering with cancer for several years, is not in remission, but at least it's sort of steadied itself, and he will be coming up to visit me this summer, so that is a real joy. Thank you. And one other thing, in regards to what Judy said and your announcement, I come from one of those churches on the borderline of the South, and from their pulpit, they preach just the opposite. And I have managed to, I don't know how to put this graciously, but at least I have a broader vision of homosexuality. And I'm still confused. I know, I feel the Lord is leading some way, and the Lord is leading some the other way. Sometimes I think I could get up there in the pulpit and give a sermon myself. But I will try not to do that. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Prayers for Jim. We look forward to seeing him this summer. Yeah. Also, prayers for our church and just the church in general. We are a congregation that's held together in unity in the midst of diversity. And our centering is on Jesus Christ in all of these questions. Amen to that. Dorothea.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Pedro Rivera, Carmen's brother, whose cancer has spread to the liver, and he's been struggling with cancer for most of his life. He's a sophomore at Classical.
Prayers for Pedro Rivera, who is struggling with cancer and in a sort of acute phase right now. Other prayers? Oh, one more in the back. Hey, Mary.
I have a joy because I have my daughter here who is with me. Her name is Janet. She came all the way from Pennsylvania and to come and visit me, and she'll be with me for some time. And again, I found my old friend here from Kenya. I was just looking for somewhere to sit, and I found her. Her name is Nyambura. And it's a joy to have my friend come to church. I did not know she was coming, and to have my daughter too. So praise be to God.
Amen. A place to meet and be met. You're welcome, Janet. And Nyamora? Nyambura. Okay, you're welcome. Joanne.
I'd like to have prayers for my oldest son, Mark, and his family, for Traveling Mercies, who will be traveling to Turkey on July 15th.
Thanks for prayers for Mark and his family as they travel. Come right here.
Hi, my name is Jean, and I'm a visitor, and I just want to acknowledge what I'm seeing in this church. It's amazing. I'm also Carol Jean's daughter, for all of you that know her. So thank you for being amazing people.
Thanks, Jean. You're welcome. Great to see you today. Melinda.
Hi. I want to thank God and the people here for all the help that you've given me and the people that he's putting into my life. I brought my friend Jackie here because I've been telling her how wonderful this church is and how we all get along and help one another. And I'm hoping eventually she would join. But, you know, one day at a time, you know, things will work out. And I'm just grateful for my higher power, which I call God and Jesus, for the friends that he's given me. Because when I first moved here, I was alone, so I thought. I knew I had God, but I needed to reach out to other people, and he's shown me the way here. Thank you.
Amen. Jackie, you're welcome this morning, too. Thanks. The prayer.
I'd also like to lift up prayers for Dan Blackford as he prepares to
celebrate his father's life next weekend. We have the Board of Presbyterian Promise, members of the Board of Presbyterian Promise, have made a donation to this church in honor of Dan's long service with Presbyterian Promise and in memory of his father. Let us pray. We come humbly in prayer to you, O God, for we are privileged to enjoy this day of life in the beauty of your creation. Yet in so many places, pain and hardship are abundant. We pray for places in our world of war and countries torn by violence, for the fears of fire, flood, and tornado, and the rebuilding efforts there. We lift our prayers for those rebuilding lives of recovery. Help them ever to trust in you and to find strength they scarcely know existed. We pray for this new country of Sudan, of South Sudan, in their new life together. Bind us together, O God, as a community which rests and moves always in you. We give thanks, O God, for your signs of healing, even as we earnestly pray for those in special need of your healing touch and strength for the journey ahead. For Pedro and Carmen and all of their family. For Santana and Shirley Jones and their family. For Jenny's grandparents' friends, Pete and John. For Monica. For Alexandra. For Nalone's sister in these days, for Phyllis. O Lord, at times your ways, O God, are not our ways, and yet you never leave or forsake us. Help us to see the blessings of our lives, to be a place of community and welcome to those who are near and those who are far off, to remind us that you are ever present, sustaining your people in hope. We give thanks, O God, for the new rhythms of summer, for the opportunity of travel, for the healing in Jim that allows him to be with Julie in this summer, for the work of Habitat, for new directions in the Presbyterian Church, and for the ways in which you move in ways that we don't always see or don't always imagine. We pray for unity for your church, for it is your church, not our church. Help us to be one in you alone. We give thanks for Janet's presence with us here and Nabura, and for the serendipity of reunions together. We pray for travels for all those who are coming and going in this season. Help us, O God, to ever walk in your ways, trusting that your light will shine even in the challenges of life and those places where we think we are beyond human strength. We give thanks, O God, that you have called us to be a community which welcomes people from all different places and circumstances of lives. Help us to be community together. In that, in honesty, in trust, in respect, in love, in challenge and comfort. Lead us forth, O God, into new opportunities of summer, for the chance to walk with you in new ways, to deepen our faith and trust in you, to lead others to new commitment and discipleship. Through the power of the one who walked with us and prays with us still, we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation to come forward at this time. Come on up and find a place here in the front. It's not in your bulletin, it's a surprise. Come on up.
Hey, nice to see you. Michael. Hey, Ben. Yeah. Come on up. Hey, Evan. Come on up. Let's go, Dylan. All right. You guys ready to go? Well, okay, everyone's up here. Now that you're all up here, I want to ask you to stand up. Will you all stand up? We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to go on a walk. You ready for a walk? Let's take a walk. Come with me. We're going to walk around, and as we walk, good question. Why are we taking a walk? As we walk, we're going to talk, and we're going to look around. Look at all the people that we're passing. Just take a look. Who's down these rows? Take a look while you walk. Who do you see? What kind of people are here? Who's here? Who do you see? Let's walk over here. You can come on along. We'll come all the way back to the front. Just take a look. Who do we see? Dylan, are you looking at somebody here? Look who's here. Evan, you looking? Who do you see? All these people. They're seeing you too. Let's see. Let's keep walking. Come right in here, Hero. Come right in here. And you can find your seat again. What'd you see? Okay. Come on in. You can take a seat. Okay. So, what did you see? Who did you see out there sitting in those pews?
Mommy and Daddy.
Mommy and Daddy, yeah?
I saw some people that I really know.
Some people that you really know. Wow, that's cool. What else did you see? You saw nothing? Okay. What else? Was there anyone there who you thought was older than you? Is anyone out there older than you? Yeah, anyone out there younger than you? Really? Was there anyone out there bigger than you? Definitely. Smaller than you? Yeah. Was there anyone there you didn't know? You never saw before? Somebody new? Yeah, somebody new. Do you think everyone who you saw, did they all look just the same or were they a little bit different? They were? They're a little bit different? You know, sometimes when we sit here in church, we sit in our same place every week. Everyone does it. It's okay. And we sit with our parents, and we watch what happens in the front, and we learn about God, and we listen to God, to what God says to us, and we sing, and we pray, and we do all these things together. But, you know, sometimes when we take a walk, just get up and walk and see things in a different way, we learn something new. You could see the different kinds of people who are here this morning. Some of them you know really well, like Leah. Some of them are a little bit new or different. Sometimes when we take a walk, we can learn something new that God wants to show us. And that's what we're talking about here in church today, how getting out and walking helps us see things in a different way. And, you know, this summer, when you guys are with your parents or with your families or friends, one of the things that some people like to do is take a walk. And if you get a chance this summer, I want you to take a walk, maybe in the woods, maybe at the beach, maybe in your neighborhood. And when you walk, look around and see what's there. See if there's anything really cool or anything you don't understand and you want to know more. Yeah?
Maybe if you
could walk in the desert. You could walk anywhere that you are. But when you do, the idea is just to look around and to ask questions and to find out more about this world, because it's all God's world and God's people. Let's pray, and then I'm going to send you back to sit down, okay? God, thank you for your people, multicolored, multi-hued, of all ages and sizes. We thank you that you gather us together to be your people, God's own people here in the church. We pray for each of these little ones, for our families, and for our neighborhood. All these things, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You guys can go and sit with your parents. There's childcare downstairs for ages 3 through 6. Otherwise, children are invited to stay in worship throughout the service today.
Good morning. This morning's Old Testament lesson is located in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. You can follow along in your pew Bibles, and that's on page 3. Large print Bible, the same, page 3. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of life, which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals, and among all wild creatures upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat in all the days of your life." I read one more verse. I apologize. Lost my place. The New Testament lesson is located in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 18. Now on that same day, the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know these things that have taken place in these days?" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I realized while I was sitting up here that Abigail, when I was holding her today, had been grabbing me and had food on her hands, and now it's on my tie. So I've got these food stains on my tie this morning, and I was thinking about that as we were sharing prayer requests of all sorts this morning. You know, we all come with spots on our ties, on our blouses, on our lives. None of us come perfect with all the answers, but we come seeking them, don't we? We seek them together in this community. I thank God for that. It's a gift that you give to me and Pastor Chris, that God gives to each of us as we share it together. We're continuing today our summer sermon series, which is entitled Activate. You see the logo up there. This is something that we're using throughout the summer, and there's some little postcards of this same thing right out in the hallway. You could pick one up. Maybe it's a way for you to remember what we're talking about each week, or maybe it's a way to invite a friend to come and join us one of these summer Sundays. In this series, we're looking at activities, summer activities, that you and I enjoy doing. And we're asking key questions like, where is God in this experience? Or, what is God teaching me through this? You might say that we are developing, that's okay, Evie, thanks. You might say that we are developing an everyday spirituality. An everyday spirituality means that God does not live just bottled up here at 500 Hope Street in this old building, but that God is alive and active in the world. And that's good news for us. It's good news for us because it means that our God goes with us wherever we go. God is with us in every situation and circumstance that we face. As we begin today, let us pray. O God of all praising, beyond all praising, we lift our hearts to you today. May your word be open to us in a way that we can understand. May you speak to us in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. Build us up to be your people of faith this week, we pray. Amen. Let me ask you an important question. How many of you know who Joey Chestnut is? Have you ever heard of him? Some of you. Joey Chestnut is a professional eater, a competitive professional eater. He holds world records for speed eating things like chicken wings, matzo balls, and deep-fried asparagus. He's most famous, of course, because he's really good at eating hot dogs, a lot of hot dogs. Last week, Joey Chestnut won his fifth consecutive 4th of July weekend Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It took place in New York City. And he ate 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes. 62 hot dogs and the buns in 10 minutes. Can you believe it? If the average human is supposed to eat something like 2,000 calories a day, then that means that Chestnut ate the same amount of calories in 10 minutes that most of us would eat in 10 days. The amount of salt in those hot dogs was equivalent to what we would eat in 17 days. And the amount of fat that he took in 10 minutes, it would normally take us 19 days to eat. This was disgusting. This was appalling. This was covered live on ESPN, and millions of people tuned in to watch, myself among them. After the contest was over, I was listening to some of the commentary on ESPN, and they were reporting on this interesting phenomenon. It wasn't just that people tuned in to watch the competition, gluttonous and crazy as it was, but many of those same people tuned in, turned on the TV, and at home, they were eating hot dogs. They didn't want to just watch this on TV. They wanted to participate. So they were at home. They'd cooked up a bunch of hot dogs, turned on the TV to this professional hot dog eating contest, and then they tried to see how they could match a professional eater like Joey Chestnut. Well, in a strange way, I wonder if you might be able to relate to this morning. Not that you want to stuff your face full of hot dogs, neither do I, but because you don't want to just watch life, you want to live it, right? You don't want to just see things happen, you want to experience them. We don't want to just hear about the Christian faith, we want to participate in it ourselves. Everyday spirituality, or what the Bible calls walking with God, does not call for specialized skills or amazing abilities, like eating 62 hot dogs and the buns in 10 minutes. What we're talking about this summer, walking with God day by day in the things that we do in our normal lives, it's accessible and open to all. It's open to you.
So today we begin with one of the most common activities of all, something we can all participate in and experience, going for a walk or a hike, or if you're in a wheelchair, a roll. Getting out there in the woods or on Blackstone Boulevard or just meandering around the neighborhood, there's something very good about doing that. According to the Mayo Clinic, there are extensive health benefits related to taking a regular walk. This is like a health advisory sermon. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. It can lower your cholesterol and your blood pressure. Walking will reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. It will help manage your weight, and it will improve your mood. Studies show that a brisk walk will lower your chance of a heart attack just as much as more vigorous exercise like jogging. U.S. President Harry Truman was once asked what the secret to living a long life was, and he said, "Take a 2-mile walk every morning before breakfast." There's an Arabian proverb that says, "After lunch, take a rest. After dinner, take a walk." Something about it. The benefits of walking, though, aren't just physical. Walking also gives us a chance to clear our minds and to think more clearly. Raymond Inman says, "If you are seeking creative ideas, go out walking. Angels whisper to a person when they walk." So the benefits of walking are not just physical in our bodies or in our minds, but they can also be good for our souls. We're exploring today this idea that walking is more than just a physical act, that maybe it could be a spiritual practice, an everyday way of experiencing God. In the Bible, we remember that everyone walked everywhere all the time. If I were to paraphrase Forrest Gump, if Bible people were going somewhere, they were walking. Lisa told me not to say that, but I just had to. Walking shows up in the Bible nearly 300 times, as it was the most common form of transportation, getting from one place to another. The most persistent pedestrian in all of Scripture was Jesus. Other than the time he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, everywhere else that Jesus went, he walked. But walking in the Bible is not just a physical action, it's also a metaphor that's used to talk about the way we live our lives of faith. Psalm 1 says, "Happy are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked." And Micah 6:8 reminds us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Now, in the Old Testament passage that we read today from Genesis, we see the very first instance in the whole Bible where walking is mentioned. And it is God who does the walking in the garden. Normally, when I read this passage, and maybe it's the same for you, I really don't focus that much on what God is doing. I focus on Adam and Eve, and with good reason. You know, they've just taken the fruit from this serpent, they've eaten it, they've realized they're naked, and they're here in the story hiding out in some bushes with some well-placed shrubbery to conceal them. It draws our attention. But look at the story again. It says that God came walking in the evening, in the garden, in the cool of the evening. God wasn't there because God had heard what had happened and had come to punish them. God wasn't there to track them down and get to the bottom of this snake and fruit situation. God was there to take a walk at the end of a long day. And Adam and Eve know that it's God. They hear someone walking, and they know that it's God because this kind of thing happened all the time, maybe every day. God would take these walks after the heat and the hurry and the hustle of the day was over, because it was just the time for God to spend some time with God's two favorite people in the whole world, Adam and Eve. Now, you might be saying, well, yes, Adam and Eve were the only people in the world at that time. Might be the case. But Adam and Eve, these first two people we hear about in the Bible, are really a representation of all of humanity. They are stand-ins, if you will, for you and for me. God wanted to take a walk with them. God wants to take a walk with us. Everyday spirituality. Maybe this looks for us simply like taking a walk, putting down the work of our day, getting away from our flashing computer screens, our beeping cell phones, and our squawking televisions. Each of those things is telling us there is something more important for you to look at or think about or see right here. Don't go for a walk. But the invitation from Scripture and our message for the morning is this. Go walk. Not just to get somewhere, not just for your physical health, go walking. Not just by yourself, but with a friend, with a baby stroller, with your dog. Go walking. It's God's intention to spend time with us every day. We see it there in that Genesis story. But how will we ever find time to spend with God? Go walking. As you walk, you can review your day. Ask these questions. What am I thankful for? What has been difficult? What decisions do I face? If you are walking with someone else, maybe a spouse or a loved one, you can also ask questions of their day, listening for moments of grace, traces of truth, the presence of God. When we walk, we are moving much more slowly than we're accustomed to. Usually we zip around in our cars or on our computer screens. But when we walk, we have a chance to speak and to listen, to observe nature and beauty, to encounter God in a whole new way. So the invitation this morning is to walk, maybe in the cool of the evening, maybe in the freshness of the morning, maybe on a lunch break from work. When you take some intentional time to walk with God, you'll be renewed in your body and in your soul. But taking time intentionally to walk with God is not the only kind of walking that we heard about in our scripture passages today. There's another kind of walking that I want to point us to and talk about. This kind of walking is not something that we schedule or plan for. It's not orderly or neat. It doesn't take place when we expected it to. The second kind of walking that we see in Scripture takes place when we don't really know where we're going or what's going on, in a time of deep crisis or problem, worry or need. That's the time when God walks with us in the hard times of our lives. In the passage we read today from Luke's gospel, it's this post-resurrection account. It's the first Easter day, and two of the disciples are out for a walk. They're going to a village called Emmaus, but it doesn't really matter because Emmaus is nowhere or anywhere. It could be the place any of us might walk to when we're confused, when we have troubles, doubts, worries. That was the situation for them. All that they knew was that the person they had been following, Jesus, the one who they put their life, oriented around, had been captured, convicted, killed, and put in a tomb. That's all they knew of it. Their lives were turned upside down. They had a crisis of faith, a crisis in their lives. This is something that you and I can relate to, can't we? Maybe it's a small thing, maybe it's large. You know what that feels like when you get a phone call. You get a letter in the mail or an email, something that tells you something's not quite right in the world or in our family. So there they were walking along, dazed and confused, and as they walk, Jesus comes and walks with them. They don't recognize him at first. And that's how it is, I think, when we walk dazed or unsure of ourselves. When things are going wrong in our lives, we don't have eyes to see. But this is the good news from Scripture today for us. That we don't only walk with God when we intentionally make time for it in the Garden of Eden when things are just right, but in times when things are not just right. In fact, things are all wrong. Things are falling apart, coming apart at the seams. That is the time when Jesus comes and walks with us. Amen? Jesus comes and walks with us. What can we say about these things? 2 points for the morning. First, we are invited intentionally to spend some time walking with God, lifting up the cares of our day, unburdening ourselves on our own, with a loved one, even with the whole family. Take that time. God's waiting.
From the very beginning of creation in Genesis, it was God's intention to be with you day by day and week by week. But at the same time, remember this, that even when we fail to make intentional time with God, even when our lives are not Eden-esque and quite right, God in Christ, Jesus our Redeemer, comes and walks with us, walks alongside us, goes where we are going. You remember that the word disciple in the Bible means one who walks behind a teacher or a rabbi. We're disciples. We follow behind Jesus. But in that story right there, Jesus wasn't ahead of them, leading them. Jesus was walking with them, alongside them, engaging in the concerns and cares of their lives because Jesus cares for us. These are the reasons that we walk. I encourage you this day, these summer days, to activate your life in an everyday way. Take a walk and see where it leads. Amen.
Please rise and join with me in the affirmation of faith, which is taken from Micah 6. With what shall we come before the Lord and bow ourselves before God on high? Shall we come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with thousand rivers of oil? Shall we give our firstborn for our transgression, the fruit of our bodies for the sin of our souls? He has told us, mere mortals, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Now is the time in our service where we give our tithes and offering.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you, closer, Lord, to you. For I'll desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. For I desire to worship and obey. Lord Jesus, oh, sweet Jesus, hey, 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 sweet Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all of your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please remain standing as we are led in our final hymn for the day, O God, You Are My God, led by the worship band. Into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of God's Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Out there.